Good morning and welcome to worship here at West End, but we are so glad that you're here. I hope that each of you will join us after this service in the theater. We have a church town hall meeting. We'll be getting news about the various ministries of the church and finances and all of the things that you'll want to know about the life of this church. So please join us right after this service in the theater. Also, this Wednesday, if you're a young adult and you're looking for community, we'd love to have you join us at Brood Theology. Discussion begins at 6 p.m. We are listening to the podcast, The Bible for Normal People, and we'll meet at Von Elrod's over by the new stadium this Wednesday, October the 25th, 6 p.m. Also, if you are a college student, we'd love to have you join us for lunch after the late service. And last, this evening will be a beautiful evensong service sung by this choir that will be here soon. Right there. Evensong is a Vespers service where they'll put forth to music Mary's Magnificat and the Nunc Dimittis. It's a beautiful service. I hope you'll join us. That's tonight in the sanctuary at 5 p.m. And as Mary says in her Magnificat, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And so today, during this worship, and throughout the entire day, may our souls magnify the Lord.
Over all the nations.
Let us offer praise.
O Lord, are the one who loves justice and establishes what is fair.
Let us magnify the Lord our God, and speak out low, for you are holy.
We know, despite our sincere efforts to live in God's way, that all too easily we slip off the path to the kingdom. Trusting that God will answer our prayers and forgive us, let us confess our sins as we pray together. Great lover of justice, hear our prayers. Called to treat all people equally, we take sides and pick favorites. Chosen to be your children, we arrogantly assume others are not so honored. Challenged to be examples of faith, we reveal our worst natures to the families and friends. Forgive us, giver of rest. Enable us to stop putting you to the test, so we can open our hypocritical hearts to your healing touch of compassion and love. As Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has given all for us, may we give ourselves to you, confidently, completely, faithfully. Hear the good news. The one who created goodness and beauty is also the one who shows no partiality, but offers grace and peace to all. God has heard our prayers and done the very thing we asked, forgiven us, healed us, restored us. Thanks be to God. Amen. And as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love with one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
morning. Have you ever seen one of these? This might be something that you've gotten at a party before, but it's a Chinese finger trap. And when you put your fingers on the sides of it and you try to get your fingers out, you can't. Your fingers are trapped in there. This kind of reminds me of when I have a hard task to do. Maybe it's in school, or maybe it's at home. Your mom or dad wants you to clean your room, or I should clean my room. Or maybe you have maybe a fight with your friend, and you want to run away. You want to say, "Oh, I don't want to clean my room. I don't want to work on this hard project." You want to run away. But just like this finger trap, if you stay and you wait maybe patiently, and maybe you ask for help from someone, maybe you ask your brother or sister to help you clean your room, and then you'll help them clean their room. Or maybe you just kind of think and work through the problem, your fingers can come out if you push it in instead of pull it out and keep fighting it. So this reminds me of what Jesus does in the scripture. Some people try to trap him with a difficult problem, and instead of run away and get more trapped, he decides to have a different mindset, and he gets to go free. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are thankful for your presence in our lives and your love. We pray that you will be with us in all of our difficult situations, and we will remember to know your love. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. I have to be honest. When I first read the scripture for this morning, and I was working through my sermon, the first thing that came to my mind was in the Star Wars movie with Admiral Ackbar, and he goes, "It's a trap." That gif has become very popular. We all know what it's like to be trapped in our lives. The lowest hanging fruit example for me is when I turn on social media and I see a Facebook post, maybe by one of my friends, or a family member, or a friend of a friend, and it's something I completely disagree with. And I'm like, it's a trap. Do I post and make sure that they know the correct opinion about whatever they posted? Or do I let it go? How do I deal with that? How do I have a human interaction with something that sometimes seems less human? Or maybe it's a trap of one of your good friends or significant other, and they say, "Does this look okay? Are these pants too tight?" It's a trap. You can't win. Or maybe a more common example is when you meet somebody new for the first time and they ask you, "Where are you from? What do you do for a living?" And all of a sudden you find yourself in a conversation about a stereotype of that region. Or if you're a medical profession, you have to look at somebody's rash or something. Anyway, it's a trap. We get caught in conversations sometimes that we just wish we could get out of. That's where Jesus finds himself this morning. They have laid a trap for him, and he has a completely different mindset about what's going on than the people trying to entrap him. So who is it that's trying to entrap him? Well, on one hand, we have the Herodians. We don't hear much about them in scripture, actually. Herodians were supporters of the Roman Empire. They believed that King Herod and his lineage should continue to lead Palestine. The Pharisees, we know about them. They were the religious leaders of the time. They did not support the Roman Empire. They would have followed Jewish law, and they might have worked with the economic system of the Roman Empire, but they were not a fan. So why are these two very opposing people working together? Because they both want to trap this controversial rabbi. So what do they say? They say, Teacher, we know that you speak in truth. You know, they're warming up to him, trying to pretend like they're not trapping him. And they say, should we pay our tax to Caesar? Now, when we think of taxes, we think of sales tax and income tax and federal tax and state tax. There's lots of different ones. And there were at the time as well, but they're talking about a specific tax. This tax was implemented in 6 CE. Now that would have been about the time Jesus was born or a little bit after. So it would have been a very controversial tax at the time. And you could only pay the tax with a Roman coin. Okay, let's learn a little bit about coinage in antiquity. I never really thought about being a coin collector, but after learning about coins, they are so amazing because they give you a beautiful picture into the time and place of when the coin was used. There were three types of coins in antiquity. You had Western Empire coins, Eastern Empire coins, and then regional coins. So the Jewish culture would have had their own coins minted with their own images and their own each coin was handmade, and so they would have had their own molds for those coins. But you had to pay this tax with a Western Empire coin. Now, during the time of Caesar, how do you think he got his message across to his people? Did he have TV, billboards, or Twitter? No. He would have used pottery, art, and coins. They would have been around and in everyone's pockets, and they would have been used for propaganda of the Roman Empire. So to use this coin for a Jewish person who followed Jewish law, we all know the second commandment of the Ten Commandments: have no other idols before me. I decided that I would put an image of the coin that scholars believe Jesus would have used on the little front page of your bulletin. You'll see there's a little coin down there, and it says, Caesar Augustus Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus. Right? Caesars at the time deified themselves, and they built themselves temples so that you could go and worship them. This coin that they would have had to use to pay the tax would have been considered, possibly by some Jewish people, idol worship. An image that was not of the true God, that promoted a different God. So the trap that's laid for Jesus is twofold, a political trap and a religious one. So on one hand, you could say, don't pay the tax, don't use the pagan coin, don't submit yourselves to the Roman Empire. And immediately, the Herodians and the Pharisees could have arrested him right then and there and turned him over to Pontius Pilate. But that doesn't happen yet. On the other hand, he could say, just pay the tax, use the coin, whatever. And he not only would have been promoting possibly idol worship, but also he would have alienated his entire congregation, the people that he was talking to. He was talking to Jewish people who, in a aristocratic empire, that they would submit themselves to that and use their money to build the temples and the things of the empire that continually oppress the Jewish people. So what does he do? He says, show me the coin. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, oh, let me look at this coin, and he pulls it out. He doesn't have the coin. Jesus lived most of his life on the generosity and hospitality of others. So the Pharisees bring him a coin, and he says, whose image is on that coin? And they say, Caesar's. So he says, give to Caesar, or give to the emperor, what belongs to the emperor. This reminds me of the great Cubs baseball tradition, where when you're playing at home with the Cubs and the opposing team hits a home run, if a Cubs fan catches the ball, they'll throw it back. Get out of my house. this ball does not belong to me. Even though you could keep it for a sentimental home run in a Cubs game, it belongs to the other team. Take your coin back. The second thing he says is, what belongs to God should be given to God. Where is the image of God? Well, to his Jewish listeners and the Pharisees, they would have immediately known Genesis 1. We are created in the image of God. We belong to God. We give ourselves to God. This isn't a dichotomy that he's setting up between God and Caesar, or the kingdom of God and the Roman Empire. No, he is turning it all upside down. He says, give the coin back. We, our entire lives, our minds, our hearts, our bodies, we belong to God. This reminds me of the movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's called Stranger Than Fiction. It stars Will Ferrell, and he's not so much in a comedic role as he is in kind of a comedic dramatic role. The main character is actually a tax accountant, which is just coincidence. Anyway, and he has a specific routine that he does every single day. He brushes his teeth a certain amount of time, he fixes his tie a certain way, he eats the same thing for breakfast, and he goes to work. And one day he wakes up and he realizes that he hears a voice of a narrator in his head. And he's freaked out by it, actually, and he's like, ooh, I am hearing this voice, and she's talking to me, and she's narrating my life. This is very weird. So he goes and he meets a book critic and another author to help figure out whose voice is this that's narrating my life. And he begins to change some actions. He opens himself up to a new relationship, and he starts doing his job a little bit differently. And eventually, spoiler alert, he's able to meet the author, and it literally saves his life. You see, I could give you a list of things in my sermon to do and the books to read, maybe, but that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about a total transformation of the mind and the heart, a new way of orienting your life in a new narrative where you hear and experience things differently. You experience abundance and joy and peace in new and different ways. A space where you are enough, and therefore everyone can have enough. So those coins in your pocket, buy your bread, pay your taxes. But you, all y'all, we belong to God. Thanks be to God. Amen. One of the ways we remind ourselves of the new way, the new mindset, is by standing together and reciting affirmations of faith. So if you'll turn with me to page 883 in your hymnal, we can stand and say together the statement of faith from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the world in the flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you and indicate if they are to be shared or are confidential. You can place them in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. This morning, we remember Debbie and Kevin King and their family. They are mourning the death of Debbie's mother, Mary Eliza Chambers Bruce, who died October the 9th in Franklin, Tennessee. We also remember Stuart, Jim, Ethan, and Graham Vines and their family, who are mourning the death of Stuart's father, Richard W. Spencer, who went by Dick, who died October the 15th in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Let us now offer to God our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Life-giving God, we praise you this day for the beauty of your earth, for the joy and comfort of human relationships, and for the relationship we have with you through Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for the grace and mercy you pour out each day, and for the unconditional, unending love with which you care for us. Thank you, God. There are many in this world, O God, and even in this room, who are in need of your care, especially today. We lift up to you all who are hurting, all who are grieving, all who are fearful, all who are unsure of what the future holds. We pray for those who suffer from hunger, cold, lack of medical care, and violence. May the power and presence of your Holy Spirit enfold each one, that they might be sustained each day. O God, we pray that you might give us a spirit of wisdom and discernment, that we might know what it is to be faithful and to serve you with our whole lives, even when it is difficult, even when it makes us uncomfortable. Help us to live like Jesus, who showed us by example how to care for those in need. Guide us as we seek to offer comfort and hope to others, and work for justice and peace. We pray, O God, that in the living of our lives, we might glorify you. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As grateful recipients of the gifts of God, may we now offer our tithes and offerings back to God with joy and thanksgiving.
Thank you.
communion. I'd like to invite those who are joining to come forward. I'd like to introduce you first to Leah Hiller. Leah is a dancer with the Nashville Ballet. She's transferring from Gethsemane Lutheran Church in Columbus, Ohio. Next, we have the Geiger family, Eric and Susan Geiger, and their two children, Elizabeth, who is a kindergartner, and David, who is two. Eric is an attorney with Parallon Business Solutions, and Susan is an emergency physician with Sumner Regional Medical Center. Susan is joining as an associate member, which means that she'll maintain her membership in the Catholic Church. And Eric is transferring from First United Methodist Church of Troy, Ohio. Leah, this first question is for you. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand? Join me in affirming our newest members. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Leah, Eric, Susan, Elizabeth, and David are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
the image of God the Creator, that you go with the power of Christ our Redeemer and work with the Holy Spirit our Sustainer, now and forevermore. Amen.